systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast. It's the Pat and
AJ okay, Podcast. Just quick update from the last podcast. One, the JCW event was awesome.
I feel like if you'd say what it really was, people will know what it was.
Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
That's what you need to say.
Indie pro wrestling, but as organized by the Insane Clown Posse, yeah. Which, to their credit, they've been doing it for about 25 years. Regardless, look for that on YouTube.
Normal humans don't know what you say when you say JCW.
I know, JC. But I feel like anything these days with a W...
is wrestling.
Yeah.
Listen,
if you were to rename whatever the fuck, the name of the government thing that Elon's doing, Doge. If you were to name it like D-O-W, people would be like, is that a fucking wrestling organization?
That is two F-bombs in 1 minute and 17 seconds.
Are you guys happy about that?
Chill out a little bit.
Why? What's wrong? She's upset because she just got up from a nap and I slept all night. Because again, I went out last night to see Juggalo Championship Wrestling. And by the way, the other quick PS on that was, yes, you can buy the tickets and put it on Klarna. That was,
I can't.
Four easy installments of $16.
It's so funny because you really.
For two tickets plus fees.
That's a purchase fees. You really could have just made. Like, to me, Klarna is Klarna is like $250, $300-ish.
But you know what?
I think you're just enjoying the fact that you can use Klarna.
Well, it is fun because, again, it's only fun because I have a good credit score finally and I don't
It's not fun if you have to pay interest.
Yeah, trust me. I've been on the other end, right, where I couldn't fucking get fronted a gram from a fucking corner dealer, okay? So,
That's four F-bombs in 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Thanks, Mom. Jeez, you're like growing up with you know, that's the first time I really got, thanks for triggering trauma, first time got in trouble at a Catholic school, fifth grade, Sister Claire Marie. I called her a fucking bitch. Now it was,
you actually did have a reason though. Normally I would say
I had a reason. And I said it underneath like my breath, like a proper human being. I didn't like direct it, but you know, she caught that one. So
I know, just relax. I feel like after every podcast,
do a little ding, 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 ding.
I feel like after every podcast, I say, "Wow, you were heavy on the F-bombs."
Why don't we do this? Because even though I have time on my hands these days, I don't have this much time. I will let you choose an episode of your liking. Maybe it could even be a past one of ours, mm-hmm. or a new one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you do post-production editing on it, and you can add in a little ding every time I swear.
Or, you know what you can do is just not swear as much.
I don't care if you
swear. It's the F-bombs that are a little jarring.
Do you think? Now, this is funny, because maybe we should ask the audience. Because this is, I mean, honestly, people always ask me in my real life back in the day, they're like, dude, how do you work on the radio? Because I've had this mouth since you've just heard fifth grade.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know. I guess it's just when you're a professional. Like, you just, you get taught something, and it's like, hey, the light's on, you can't swear. And just in your mind, you never do. And I never swore unconsciously on the radio. I did swear consciously. There were two or three times, for very poignant reasons, that there may have been actual swear words. But, you know.
Do you remember that heat that just starts to come over you when you swore, like on the FM dial on accident, or you said something you weren't supposed to? Just that wave.
Just, yeah, of panic.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. For me, it was like, it was like heat that went from my head straight to my toes. Yeah,
I never did it like I'm just going to turn on the radio and go, fuck you, I quit or something. But yeah, there were some moments out there. But regardless, here's the thing.
Remember when I said Grand Blanc Town shit?
Oh, that is funny.
And it was not on purpose at all. And it was because I was stuffed up.
And
that's just how it came out, as Grand Blanc Town shit.
And then AJ started watching Schitt's Creek. And
we weren't sure if we could talk about
obviously
it.
Obviously, we all get the joke, but it plays because you can visualize it. We were on the radio. Not only were we on the radio, we were on the radio with the family-friendly at-work station.
Yes.
Right? No hip-hop between 9 and 5. They didn't have that. But anyways, you know, so when the first time you said it, I had that come over my body. I go, did she just say Schitt's Creek? I'm like, and I remember in the moment, Because listen, I did enough nonsense to bring heat on our career.
I didn't need her to get us in trouble.
I didn't need you to give like an easy 2 points
but
to
I
anyone.
Do remember we had that conversation yeah, like, later. Well, like, are we allowed to say it in the show?
I say call it Schnitz Creek, okay? Schnitz Creek. Because it's a total play off what? Shiznit, you know, something like just like, you know, try to alter it a little bit because we don't get the benefit of print. Like Schitt's Creek, the show does when they give you the title, which is S-C-H-I-T-T-S.
And you know what the weirdest thing is? Is if you're a fan of the show and you say Schitt's Creek, you don't hear it as a swear anymore. Yeah. You just hear it as, oh, Schitt's Creek is
exactly,
a place.
Right. So, but I, to your point, because this is multiple times now you've said this, and I feel like it's more AJ projecting. She doesn't like, I don't want to say, see, this makes you sound like a fucking farm woman. I swore again. Since we've met each other, you're just not a fan of swearing.
Well, I swear myself, though.
Yeah, but you kind of, I don't know, maybe it's in the tone that I deliver it. Maybe it's just me. Maybe she doesn't like me, folks. That's what we've really figured
out.
Stop
it.
No, but I've always, you've said this multiple times, like, can you please stop talking like that? Or I'll say something in public and she gives me the eyes. And then when we are in arguments, verbal arguments, not that we argue a lot, but back in the day when you're growing and pushing each other and figuring out what the relationship is, I would swear and she would, that would be like a big boundary in relationships. And not that I was being like, you fucking bitch.
No.
But I would just be like, well, fucking this and fucking that. And she'd be like, can you please stop swearing so much? Like, I felt like you considered it aggressive.
It did seem aggressive. I mean, know.
Now, here's the weird part with it.
You know who I swear a lot with, and I noticed today? With? My therapist.
Oh, see? Because you're in a safe space.
She doesn't seem to mind, but I caught myself swearing a lot with her today.
I do have
clients. Do you see that? You're a therapist. Do you see that?
I say I have clients. It's funny. Either they'll kind of let you know right off the bat, like who they are, and they'll do that and use their language freely, which again, as you guys can tell, I as I tell my clients, nothing you will say is going to shock me and make me clutch my pearls. So it seems like either one's right off the bat swear, or if people do swear, they then apologize, and then I have to tell them I don't care, which usually I say, oh, I don't give a shit.
Well, and it's funny because sometimes, and listen, no, I'm not eavesdropping on his sessions, but Pat's a very loud person.
Oh, I talk so loud.
And when I can usually hear him saying something.
Is it like a Charlie Brown's mom almost? You hear like, whoa, 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 whoa,
yeah.
Whoa, whoa, fuck.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. But every once in a while I'll hear him like swear, not at a client, but in when he's talking to a client about something. And that's when I'm like, oh, they must be comfortable with each other.
No, you just got to speak people's language, you know, for a while. Even though I'm opening up my own shop right now, I worked with combat veterans from the VA. Okay. So these are ladies and gentlemen who had gone to wars over the years. As you can imagine, language is a little colorful. So it's a little bit of a bonding technique when I go, ooh, I can be myself. Yeah. Now, what I need to know, maybe we need to throw this up on the socials. We can poll people and ask them.
Yeah.
Now, because you have said before that your cousin who listens to our program up in Minnesota, which, by the way, he shouldn't be. He's an air traffic controller. Get back to work.
Does he have a job now? I need
everyone who deals with planes. I don't care what it, from baggage handlers. Stop doing everything. Just let's work on the planes. But I know he listens, and you would sometimes make the joke like, oh, you know, my cousin got a hold of me and said, yeah, we had to turn down the podcast today because Pat was kind of loose on the F-bombs because they have a little one.
Yeah.
And
it's not because he's like, he's,
no, no,
he
not
because
he's
too,
like offended, but I mean, now he's a family man, and I apparently I'm like, this must mean they listen in the car.
Yeah.
And I assume these days little ones in the car don't want to hear the radio because they have what, a screen in front of them. So he's probably listening to whatever, but same thing. Maybe when I say too many of the notorious
it's
words.
It's really just the F-bombs.
So listen, I don't know. If you want to do
abrasive.
It, you put that rule on here. Sure. I can go back to broadcast mode and literally turn it off. I just feel this comfortable right now. And I always
That's awesome.
I always felt like the podcast was a way for us to try to present the most authentic version of ourselves. I'm still not quite sure we are. We're as close as I think we can get.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
It is because we spent, what, how many years? 15? Not, no, 13.
Even then, it was hard to present your authentic self.
We spent 13 years on the radio we were our authentic selves, but to the point that we were allowed to be.
I was going to say there's such in that mode, threading a needle of entertainment and being able to basically be marketable to the company that's employing you, right? Because they need to be able to sell you to advertisers and, you know, and in a sense, I guess you're selling yourself to an audience. And it's just, again, you know, we used to joke about some of the stuff we did just in our personal lives back when we worked at a country music radio station. Yeah. Now, country music, we worked it only one time for 4 years. But, you know, we quickly figured out and quickly knew that this is what you call a lifestyle kind of music. No one's kind of casually listening to country.
No, and it was really weird, too, because they hired us because we weren't a country morning show.
And that's right when the whole, like, country went pop, Florida Georgia Line, you know, all that stuff popped. And they really did. They wanted to shed kind of the image of the old honky-tonk DJs, and they wanted hip, new, funny, a.k.a. Top 40 sounding radio shows, which, by the way, to this day, Bobby Bones, guys. Guess how much country radio Bobby Bones did before he started doing this country radio thing?
Zero.
He worked at a Top 40 radio station. Yeah,
and that's what happened to us. And they said we won a Top 40 morning show at a country station. And it was a lifestyle station, but it was hard because we didn't live the lifestyle.
Right, and like we were going to like fucking Deadmau5 shows in Vegas. And you can't really talk about that, let alone, I mean, not saying you can't talk about going to Vegas with a country crowd, but again, there was
You don't talk about going to an electronic dance music show.
Know, I mean,
do you know the only time I felt I ever, and this is awful.
Go ahead.
In hindsight, of course, is 2020. The only time I felt like I really connected with the country music audience was when I talked about drinking a lot of wine.
Jesus Christ.
Turns out I was drinking too much wine. And
but
I had
that was
a little
also
bit,
Wisconsin.
I had a little bit. It was Wisconsin, too.
Wisconsin, yeah. I mean, would you say you had an alcohol problem?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then when we went to Flint, you know, it was like the, it was like that wine mom persona time where it was like, and it's still kind of there.
And the station was selling kind of the image of the wine thing because Michigan does have a booming wine industry, and the station would kind of want to do those events. And so what you would lean into that.
Yeah. Even though I didn't drink much wine at all.
Not in Michigan. Well, because
I had just realized I had a freaking problem. That's why. But then they wouldn't let me talk about how I smoked pot instead.
Yeah, that was the big
no-no.
That was the weird thing in Michigan, because of course we went from in Wisconsin, and this is to this day, pot is totally off the board. It's not medical, it's not recreational. If you want to know why, Google these words, Wisconsin Tavern League. So when, you know, we were in Wisconsin, I'm like, you know, the OG stoner has been smoking pot since he was 15. And I always kind of, you know, knew a guy here and there or could connect with somebody. But let's just say the pot scene, even in the underground in central Wisconsin, not exactly booming.
No.
So
it had to be like the biggest secret ever.
You just couldn't talk about it. So literally when we came to Michigan and they had their head screwed on straight, we got there and the medical program was already up and running. And quickly thereafter, the recreational program was up and running. It was kind of a sigh of relief where you go, oh, okay, now we can just
be ourselves, like
a human being. You can go to a store and pay a little bit of tax and get a product that you trust because of the brand and go home like an adult and enjoy yourself. But as much as it was this thriving industry, especially with the 55 plus crowd, in case you're wondering, all the states where pot goes legal, the biggest demographic, everyone thinks it's young kids. They're like, these fucking young kids want to be stoners. 55 plus is always the biggest demographic when states go legal.
Oh my God, when I go to the dispensary here, it's all older people. It's like your Margaritaville grandpa, you know, and then it's like your veteran, you know.
Which again, Margarita grandpa.
Like he's wearing like a Jimmy Buffett shirt.
He was always smoking green. So was Jimmy Buffett. Just they had to fucking know a guy who knew a guy. And then the weed sucked and it was illegal. And then they got a job as a lawyer. So they're like, well, I might as well just be an alcoholic like America tells me to.
So we thought it would be okay to talk about how we smoked pot.
Whoopsie doopsie.
Holy cow. One of the in Flint, one of the local TV stations asked me to go on the air and talk about it with them. They were our partner station. And they're like, hey, you know, because I had mentioned the stigma where it's okay for moms to drink wine, but it's not okay for moms to smoke pot.
Didn't you? You wrote something.
That's where it stemmed from.
You wrote like a blog, and it was kind of in response. There were a few really good articles about the death of the wine mom and the rise of the green mom, which was basically moms were going for a while. It was really, you know, they're all watching fucking The Real Housewives of wherever and imagining, well, hey, we can just hang out all day and have wine while whatever the kiddies are at school. And really, you're an alcoholic because you're drunk when your kid comes home from school.
Yeah, that's not okay.
And then all of a sudden, you kind of saw the rise in these legal states, not just Colorado. And then, I mean, again, as it grew, people came out of the shadows. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they started talking about it. And you said, oh, I've had that experience. I'd like to talk about it. And I believe people might want to hear it.
There were studies at that point where like women had said, even not just women, I think it was parents in general, said they were more attentive with their children when they smoked a little pot as opposed to having like a beer, that they enjoyed the time with their kids more. They were more into it. They were more relaxed. And I thought maybe we were getting somewhere. I'm like, maybe I can talk about how I take like one puff a day, you know, and it's okay.
I was
going
to say, you were the quintessential. She wasn't even one of those because I think by the time we moved to Michigan, our kid was in what grade? What grade was he?
Oh, second.
Second grade?
Yeah.
So we got to Michigan and you were never kind of like that mom that needed a break. Although, God, she could have used some pot back in the day when, you know, you had PPD, right? That would have definitely helped. But you were the quintessential nighttime after the child had gone to sleep, right? And we were trying to enjoy an hour of our day before we got ready for bed. Literally, it's all we had was the hour. And yeah, like you were the woman who would light up. You'd get a little giggly, get a little munchies. Before,
and then get a little bit tired.
And then you'd get tired. You'd say, hey, it's time for us to go to sleep because we have to get up at fucking 4 o'clock in the morning to do a radio show. I just swore again.
You did.
And yeah, you... I don't remember. Did you?
It was an article I wrote for the website.
They allowed you to write it.
That was fine. But then when the local TV station said, hey, we want to talk to you about it, I agreed without thinking I needed to ask because it was our it was our partner TV station. Oofy. And I was told not to. So
yeah, I'm you know, I'm pretty at this age. Man, it's a few of the things where I'm kind of spot on with the Libertarian Party. Because I really think everyone's approach to substances, mood-altering substances, no matter what they are, just everyone's got it fucking wrong, and I'm just down the line now. Let people do what they want.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I hate to put it like that. Like, people are going to do what they want anyways. The war on drugs over. Drugs won.
Yeah.
And we just need to reevaluate.
People know the consequences of this stuff. They do when they do it. Nobody thinks, oh, this is really great for me. It's, you know, a lot for a lot of drugs. It's not.
And listen, I'm, you know, when I say reevaluate the conversation, you know, maybe that conversation is reevaluating the place of things that we don't think of as quote unquote mood altering. Yeah, I'm looking at you, sugar. That's right. Yeah. Look at the food, right? I'm trying not to sound like fucking Bobby Kennedy.
I do.
But, I mean, is sugar not in there?
Yeah.
I mean, do we have different conversations about alcohol and tobacco and all types of things?
God, there's a new study, by the way, that's Instagram is mood altering.
Yeah, Instagram's mood altering.
A quick scroll of your Instagram.
Hits your dopamine.
Hits your dopamine. It makes you super hyper focused. And then when you close out the app, you feel anxious. You get cravings, which is, guess what that, that's addiction.
I mean, it literally, trust me, as a guy who just took all of his clinical examinations to be a therapist. I mean, the telltales of any fill in the blank use disorder. I don't care if it's alcohol, substance, methamphetamine, cocaine, you name it. But it is literally the increased usage, the craving, the spending increased amounts of time searching for the product or worrying about the product or trying to figure out how to get the product, which I assume with digital is what, the time you're off your phone going, wonder what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just having this conversation with, one of my buddies, because he's really trying to do, like he's recognized the digital scrolling for him is not a good thing right now.
Yeah, it's doom scrolling.
Yeah, like with the news and politics, you know, he is like, man, this is not good for me. And it was so funny as you know, I kind of had the same conversation about, dude, it's the same thing as all these other ones. We just don't, you know, we haven't caught up to call it that yet. Trust me, when my people update our manuals, we will have digital and all this shit in there right next to substance abuse and alcohol use and sex use. Speaking of substance abuse,
do you have your pen with you?
Little... I do over here.
I have a tad bit of a headache.
A little bit of a headache there. That'll kill that. So, I mean, we just had this conversation and he goes, dude, I get it. He goes, you know, I literally, when I'm away from his, whatever his drug of scroll choice is, he's like, you're kind of, ooh. And then when you're on it, you can't stop.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. And I told him, I go, here's the weird part, right? And this applies to everything, including the alcohol, the tobacco, the drugs, whatever it is. We're humans. We have a frontal lobe. We're pleasure seeking.
Yeah.
We're unfortunately not amoebas, right? Like we're not single cell organisms.
This isn't unique to, you know, just a group of people. Yeah. This is all of us to a certain extent.
Like pleasure, right? I mean, yeah. Whether before all this, it was what? Pleasure was fucking, right? I mean, look at the turn of the century. Yeah. Lots of kids, not a lot of people who wanted to parent them, right? They just wanted to fuck and they didn't know how to stop themselves from getting pregnant yet. So we are pleasure seekers and it's part of like, you have to almost commit that part of your life's going to be about pleasure seeking. And maybe that's where all the religion, and I know now I'm preaching, right?
Yeah, you really are.
But maybe that's where all the religion and that stuff comes about limiting your pleasure seeking. Because otherwise, what does life become? It's all about pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. But we are pleasure seeking. You got to figure out, though, how to keep it in between the lines, man.
How did we start this conversation? It was about swearing, wasn't it?
So if you don't want me to swear anymore, first off.
I did not say that. I said F-bombs. Fuck you.
I just want to say something.
I'll give you a pass. I'll give you a pass because you went to an ICP show last night.
We will do a poll and we'll do it on the socials. And honestly, if people go, you know what? I enjoy the podcast, but yeah, unfortunately, because of the unfiltered version of Pat that we're getting, we can't listen to it. It may be in open settings. And yeah, it'd be nice if he could watch his mouth. Listen, I'm a goddamn professional.
Yeah.
I can do it. I can turn it off.
And that's how much he loves the people who listen. Well, yeah. We don't get compensated for this podcast at all.
It's all about the love, man.
If you say you want it, he'll do it.
It is all about the love. We've been doing this clown show. I mean, ours personally since 2008, me personally entertaining people on the radio since 1999. And it was all love to have anyone tolerate whatever we did as we did it. Yeah. And some of it worked and some of it didn't. And we just appreciate you. So yeah, if this is the final adventure of whatever we're doing and you're saying, yo, man, real talk, why don't you just tighten that up? I'll do it for you. I'll do it. Now, what I'm hoping is you guys prove me right. And you're all like, tell AJ to shut the fuck up. She needs to calm her tits, get her panties out of bunch and let the man be who he is.
I'm not wearing panties right now. That's not fair.
Oh, boy. Hey, speaking of no panties, I've been setting up my own private practice as a mental health therapist, which means I kind of have an unusual couple weeks with not a lot to do, few clients.
You've managed to stay pretty busy,
though. I am. Like, I'm pacing out the work I have to do. Which in my business is kind of like paperwork and also kind of the basics of anyone who's working for themselves, I guess, a website, a social media presence. And in that time, well, first off, I just want to say, because we have an incoming freshman of college this year. That sounds weird to say.
Yeah, it does.
Very weird. But we've talked about this. Man, I've seen it come and go, man. I don't know what he's going to be trained for. I don't even know if he knows yet. I don't know if the school knows yet because things are coming and going so fast. Me and you have been around with websites for how long now, right?
Oh, decades. Too long.
Decades. And I mean, really, if you go back to it, I launched my very first personal website in 2003.
Yeah.
You know, just like as a guy, and it was really hard, and I had to like hire some guy online, and he was like a crackhead from Vancouver, and I had to wire him money. It was very strange. So as I do all my business work, setting up my little clinic. The last of it is like, well, you got to register a website domain. And you should probably get the social. And so I make sure they're all available. Boom, boom, do that. I kid you not. I mean, I think before GoDaddy's who I use, but this is not exclusive to them. This is any of the big web hosting sites I just happen to use GoDaddy.
But to be fair, we've been using GoDaddy forever. It's really great. That is an unpaid endorsement.
That business, that technology has grown so much. I think before the payment process went through, they had basically created and launched a website for me.
Yeah.
I mean, and I go back to the time, and again, I'm trying not to sound like grandpa. I swear to you I'm not, but anyone.
I remember updating, one of my first jobs as a radio intern was updating the radio website. There was, it was a top 8 at 8 or hot 8 at 8?
It was the top 8 at 8. And I got yelled at by the now retiring program director, Brian Kelly. Shout out, Brian Kelly, fabulous Milwaukee human famous. Being. He said, listen, Cracker, that was my name. Welcome. Welcome to back when you couldn't get fucking canceled,
with
bitch.
With a K. Cracker with a K.
Cracker with a K. You go, Cracker, you got to slow down. You say the top 8 at 8 too fast, and I think you're saying it's the top 88. You got to slow it down. So then I would say, it's the top 8 at 8.
There were 8 top songs of the day. The most requested, was it? Or was it just on the charts? I don't remember.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It was probably picked by Brian.
But that was one of my first jobs, was to update the website every night at my internship.
Yeah.
And I just remember how difficult,
laborious,
and confusing, and HTML codey it was. And it was just, but I learned so much. Like, that internship, because I learned HTML code to update the website.
Yeah.
I learned how to update my MySpace page, like, with a cool background. And I remember all my friends saying, holy shit, how did you do that? And I said, well, I know HTML code.
That's right.
And I felt so cool for 5 minutes, because it wasn't that you could just click, you know, a button and your profile changed. Everything looked the same.
The elder millennials remember the HTML coding of the MySpace days. So
But websites have gone far from that.
Do you remember when we were putting together the original PatandAJ.com, which was, we were still in central Wisconsin. Yeah. Do you remember just what it was like then for me? Like, it was insane. And I shit you not, before I could shake a lamb's tail, you know, they had a basic website kind of up and going for me. And I sat there and I go, holy shit. Because me and you, let's face it, the business we used to work in, the radio one, the business side of it, has been trying to expand and try to figure out digital for years, right? And I think the last company we were at figured it out the most, but they figured out that they could be the link for small business, right? Yeah. Because for the most part, as we just mentioned, being a small business, it was kind of daunting setting up this stuff. If this is not what you do, if you're Joe and Joe has a mechanic shop, but he knows he needs a website for people to be able to Google him and submit appointment requests, Joe didn't know what to do. And then Joe would find a local radio sales guy who would pitch him on it.
Say, we'll take care of your website for you.
Now Joe don't need them.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's why that whole industry thing doesn't no longer work.
And then I'm like, oh, so this is how it happens, because I've seen it over the years. I mean, is anyone now? I mean, God bless you. I'm sure they are, but I don't think anyone aspires to be a website designer.
No, and
do you remember that? That used to be a thing, man.
That just happened with my dance teacher who passed away in January.
Yeah.
He had the most outdated website you had ever seen. There were dance studios on that page that didn't exist. Like, they used to have a dance studio in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I'd get emails all the time like, hey, we'd love you to do a show in Phoenix. And I'm like, we're not in Phoenix. So, like, and they're outdated
info by a decade.
Yeah, just everything was outdated. Teachers were out. Some teachers who had moved away. And everybody said, we have to update the website. But my dance teacher, who was about, you know, 8 years older than me, he would just throw his hands up and be like, I don't know how to do that. I need somebody else to do it. So I spent a good week of last August making a new website for this dance studio that no longer exists because he passed away. Oh, that's right.
Look at that. All your work, huh?
That pissed me off so bad because he loved it. Everybody loved it. And now it is obsolete.
But I
remember telling him, and I'll tell anybody who will listen, it's so, everybody has this outdated idea of what it's like to set up a website. It's so dummy proof at this point.
I mean,
if you really want somebody else to truly do it for you, you can click a button and say, create a website for me. You don't even have to get specific with it. Somebody, you know, these companies, these online sites will do it for you.
Well, and I know there's someone out there screaming going, well, listen, guys, you're saying that we just traded one middleman for another. And we did, but I think we got closer to the source, right? This is like people who always, this is a really funny bit with a lot of stand-up comedians or anyone that's been through the ski slopes and made it to the other side. Everyone wanted to find out how they could find the purest cocaine, okay? There were people willing to travel and get close, but they never could. They could never get to the source. Where is the actual cocaine?
How do you relate websites and cocaine? Okay. What is going on?
And as the website thing came around, the middlemen came around, right? The digital marketing companies, the radio companies that said, hey, we can do it for you. Why don't you just tell us and we'll do it? That's like your dealer, right? Yeah. And then the dealer's cutting it up because they're like, all right, listen, we're going to go ahead and charge them this much, even though it only cost us this much.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's kind of like you've traded that dealer for another one, which is the GoDaddy or the Wix or the whoever you want to use. But they're closer to the source. You get what I'm saying? It's not the dealer from your city. You maybe moved up to the guy that covers the entire country.
Yeah.
So you're a little bit closer. You're still not at the actual source.
No.
You're not at the internet's door, but you're so close, and they've streamlined it. Yeah. Like you said, you banged out a whole website in a week.
And that even, for me, that was a long time, but there was a lot of uploading videos, forms, registration stuff. I mean, there was a lot of little finite stuff. If you're doing, and don't get me wrong, listen, I still see them. You can make a website through one of these sites that still looks kind of shitty.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you just don't know how to put the content on it. But, you know, it's easy to navigate and it looks okay, but it's
even
just
the shitty ones can be a lot better than they used to.
Exactly. I mean, full stop. I still run and I get paid to run a couple of websites for people that I set up years ago.
Yeah. And so like you are one of those middlemen. You're one of those people that said, hey, I can do it for you. And in reality, you're saying those people, if they, you know, maybe had a little bit more, gumption, they could probably do it for themselves.
Not necessarily. These are older people.
Oh, there you go.
Who literally just are like, no. And I'm like, that's fine. Like that one, I think.
This is like your grandmother who refused to learn how to drive.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, Grandma, you got to learn how to drive. It's really going to help. No.
You
drive me where I need to go.
You give your grandma a smartphone and she throws it up against the wall. No.
No.
And that was where I got upset with my dance teacher, funny. Is my dance teacher was 49 years old.
I mean, he was
and I was like, I run websites for like 72-year-old people. Like, you could figure this
out.
You're
like trying to tell the senior how to save money. They're like, no, I just want to pay you to do
it. And it's fine.
I get that. It's a service-based
world. You know, it's really easy. I just say, hey, let me know when you want me to update it, what you want me to put on there. They pay me a nominal fee once a year to cover really not a big deal, but it is still easy.
Listen, I've had so much time. I had time allotted to a lot of this stuff and it's been so condensed because of how, I don't want to say automated, but you know, whatever AI, whatever it is, it's been so condensed now. I have time to read a fucking book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had thought this would take up so much more of my time, and it has taken up about 47 minutes, and there's a full-blown digital presence, and I'm just like, well, I guess I'm going to sit back here and read a book.
Well, and it was really easy for a really small pocket of time before AI came along. Like, it was not that hard, and now AI has made
it even easier.
And you and I talked about this the other day. We're like, you know, we all remember the time where AI was still kind of like, it's okay, but it's not great. Like, you'd ask it to come up with a graphic or something, and you're like, that looks kind of shitty, and you're just not
getting
it. And that's
Siri,
fine.
When like Siri first came out, and then everyone stopped using Siri because we're like, Siri sucks.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sorry if all your Siris just went off.
No.
But
yeah, and now we're like, nope, it is the game has changed. It is incredible. And it is like that with websites too. Mm. Like, you create a domain, which, in case you don't know, the domain is whatever.com. That's
Ward
your domain.
Or dot whatever it dot is going to be.
Dot whatever.
ED. There's so many now.
I know. That's your domain. That's what a domain is.
And then you go from there.
Yeah. And you can set up the website yourself, which is so easy. Or you can even throw it out there even more, and these sites will be like, hey, you want AI to do it? And you say yes, and they freaking do it.
I got double whammied in a good way with my website for my private practice. I won, log on to the old GoDaddy. I look up my private practice site that the name I wanted. It goes, it's available. I go, great. I go, click, clack, clack. And it goes, man, that's about it was like $47.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, $47. Let me pay that right now. Boom, go to pay it. And he goes, hey, turns out you got $26 in GoDaddy credits. You want to use that? I go, yeah, I want to use that. So it knocks it down. Are you ready for this, right? Yeah. I realized that I had, you know, bought in on the most basic level, which did not give me any kind of freedom. So I said, all right, how much is it going to be for me to get like a little bit of freedom? They go, all right, you want to build this shit by yourself? They go, we're going to need, for the year, we're going to need $14. And I go, all right, I'm going to send you $14.
Yeah.
But instead, it defaulted to my, it charged it to my credit card.
Oh.
I have this Visa credit card. This is where it gets fun. I go, oh, shit, I meant to put that on my debit card. It's only $14. Yeah. I don't want to have $14. My Visa credit card texts me and goes, hey, real-time rewards, you got $13. You want us to apply this to that $14 purchase
so
you just
made?
So
you paid a dollar.
Paid a dollar.
That's awesome.
So that's what I'm saying. You never, I mean, I'm really in for like less than $40, and I have a full-blown digital presence. Yeah. And again, not that I'm e-commerce, but I am a therapist that needs to be, I guess, Googleable.
Googleable.
Within the people of Arizona, if they need services, and I have the ones that can match them. But it's just so wild because me and you kind of pseudo worked on the fringes of that industry where they're like, hey, it's a revenue stream. And I'm like, it's not a revenue stream anymore. You know,
it's not.
Wonder what our kids gonna have to learn to do in college.
I don't know.
Isn't that crazy? Because I mean, literally 20 years ago, and I'm sure there still are like website design.
Oh yeah,
you know,
that's
majors,
I mean, that's still a big thing.
Like graphic design,
it's
but
not quite as big as it used to be.
You don't need a graphic design person. You just tell whoever. You tell your AI, like, hey, like, I love seeing all the AI images that people are doing now. And it's basically they pick a couple and they want them to be stereotypical of somewhere.
Yeah.
And they'll say, show me a couple stereotypical of Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah.
And the AI will give you an image. And then
they'll give you a white bougie couple.
Yeah. And then, of course, they'll refine it. Like, I want them to be more Scottsdale. Yeah. And then it'll refine the image.
They've got a golf cart.
Yeah, right. And I want them to be more, right? So, I mean, with that stuff, I'm like, once we're at that point with it, I'm like, how do you, I mean, I don't know. It's just, you're going to have to learn how to pivot. I'm so interested. Like, what is my kid going to learn?
Well, you know? And remember too, like, one of my family members kind of fell victim to this.
Oh, did he ever?
There were, when all of this was booming, I would say what, my grandma was still alive. So it was what, like 2005.
Yep. 05. And I think they might have gotten involved in like 04.
Yeah, they got, all this stuff was booming, and they got involved in a quote-unquote graphic design program at a local technical college. And I remember my grandma was having like a reunion of some sorts, and mm-hmm. she said, oh, so-and-so made the invitations for my reunion because they're doing a graphic design program.
Perfect, right?
And I saw the invitations, mm-hmm. and I said, this is not a graphic design program. I was honestly shocked, and I said, I feel like a lot of these programs and colleges and they're swindling people because everything was on the cusp of booming.
I was going to say, everyone, it was very much like, remember this, boys and girls, since we live out west, it's a common tale. We actually live in a place called Oro Valley, and if you know your Spanish, that's Gold Valley. Guess what they thought was here?
Gold.
And guess what wasn't here?
No gold.
That's why it's now the Oro Valley.
There's a lot of snowbirds and rich people out here.
Right? The people who made the money in the gold rush were the folks who sold the pickaxes and the little mining pans. Yeah. Okay? So
not the people who used the pickaxes.
Right, you know, they were like hoping to find the gold. And some of them did. A lot of them didn't. And I think
that's what happened with
when the technological, because that was an extension of what? The dot-com boom, which was the late 90s, right? That's where the whole internet thing, I remember everyone saying, I'm going to go to school to be a programmer. No one knew what the fuck a programmer was, but they were going to be one. And then, yeah, mid-2000s, the web, you know, the web now is huge. So now it gets into, can I work on the web? And that's where some of what the graphic design people come in.
And there were a lot of, and as we've seen, there were a lot of those programs, and not just in person, but online programs that, you know, they got nailed to the wall for being sketchy and stealing people's money. And didn't that happen to the school my family member went to?
I think so. I think it did.
Because what they were teaching him was like, it was not.
It's like Microsoft Paint.
Yes. And I was.
Here's how you make a flyer for your local YMCA Friday night hula party.
It was, it was like pixelated. I was like, what? This is ridiculous.
But I mean, again, and to my point, every week, which by the way, hey, we're doing a good job, right? We've been recording every week.
Yeah.
Every week when I release this podcast, I log on to Canva, which is like the world's biggest known, you know, image generator tool.
I love it.
And I do what I assume they were training this person to do over an 18-month period.
That was what I
school,
was expecting,
right?
Was something, and this was before Canva, but I was expecting something to the caliber of Canva in 2004. It was not. It was stuff I could have made when I was playing around with my dad's computer in 1998.
And now, again, to that point, though, those people, even the best of them, what are they doing in a world where you can generate your own logo?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I
graphic design seems to be a struggling.
Yeah.
Like, you're just, there's nothing. To
unless
do
you're big time, there's no time.
No.
Right? I mean, unless you're big time, and I'm talking New York, LA, London, France, working at big design houses, I don't know, man.
Well, and our son for 2 seconds was interested in architecture for college, which we quickly found out is a completely brutal program.
It does seem unnecessary. It seems unnecessarily harsh. Seems a little bit like your Irish dance hustle that like they have going on to make you guys Irish dance teachers. Like you guys have to do more studying than a surgeon.
Yeah.
And I felt like the architecture program, I'm like, this is kind of intense.
Like it was literally like you could do it for like a year or two and then they could kick you out of it.
Yeah, they do that in like medical programs. It's called paring down, but you do that because in medical programs, you actually need, I think, the best and brightest. Not saying we don't need the best and brightest architects to make sure things stand
up. We do, but
up.
It just seemed really difficult. It seemed unnecessarily difficult. But one of the things they said is, well, you know, if he's interested in graphic design, he could do that for architecture. They're like, they do need people to plan, you know, like outdoor spaces and stuff.
Yeah, they said it was, the big one was, especially out here, with landscaping architecture, which, I mean, in the world of Arizona, it's all landscaped architecture, right? Yeah. So, but it's just interesting watching, you know, you just wonder what your kid's going to go off to do. And I'm excited for him. I know this is the part where someone's like, why the fuck is he paying for it if he doesn't know what he's doing? And I'm like, maybe it's just the experience, right? I mean, this is, maybe he'll figure out what the next thing is, right?
Well, it also helps that college is paid for him by a family member.
It is funded.
Sorry.
It was saved by multiple generations of my family dating all the, I'm serious when I say this, all the way back to the 70s, you can trace funds that were saved for my education.
For your college was funded and now his college is funded.
And then his. These are plans of immigrants from decades ago, folks.
And trust me, if it was not funded by
it'd be a lot harder. Harder to justify.
I'm not sure I would justify him going to college if you know.
Yeah, but what else? What are you gonna have?
Know.
I mean, just think about our son right now at 18. Like, what else would he do? Right? Like,
well,
I think for him, it's gonna be just a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know. I'm like, maybe he's on that next wave, first wave, right? Like, I mean, let's talk about all those guys that were sitting on the inauguration stage. Guess what Zuckerberg didn't do? Graduate college.
Yeah.
Because he literally was on the ground floor, the first wave of the next wave, and realized I can get up out of here.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, who knows? With everything in flux, with us not knowing what the fuck is next, like, he could be there during a really cool time. But it's like, let's face it. I don't know if you figured it out. I think we're living through kind of historic times.
We are, yeah.
I think we'll look back on these years in history books. And I'm like, he's going to be on a college campus.
I know.
A university campus. That's where it all happens, man. That's like ground zero for all this shit. I'm excited. I wish I could go.
No.
Can I pay extra? Can I be like Rodney Dangerfield and back to school?
Didn't we just finish paying off my student loans like a few years ago?
Hold on. I would. Now,
your second wave of college is not funded now. Your first wave was.
Now that I have achieved my master's in social work and my highest license, which is a licensed clinical social worker, I would like to go back to school to get my doctor of social work. It's called the DSW. I would like to do it on campus at the University of Arizona with my son. I'd like us to be in the same dorm.
Ooh, you might want to run that by him.
We could join a frat together.
Oh my God.
There could be a diving competition. I teach everyone how to dance.
You know what?
Go Cats, baby!
You guys go have fun. I'll stay here at the house.
Bear down!
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.